Welcome back, everybody, for another deep dive. This time, we're going to try to uncover the pretty incredible story of Prince Estermark, an enslaved man who fought in the American Revolution.
Okay.
It's a tale that really kind of challenges how we think about freedom and patriotism, especially during those early years of the United States.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It is, right. Okay. So I guess to kick things off, what makes Estabrook's story so interesting?
Well, what makes Estabrook's story so compelling, I think, is the inherent paradox.
Okay.
You have a man here who is fighting for the very nation that's denying him basic human rights.
Yeah.
And so it forces us to ask,
yeah,
what did freedom truly mean in early America, particularly for those who are denied its most fundamental promises?
Exactly. Like, how could someone fight for something that they themselves weren't receiving?
Right.
So let's start with what we know about Estabrook's early life.
Okay.
He was born around 1740. And enslaved by Benjamin Estrick, a farmer and mill operator in Lexington, Massachusetts.
Okay.
Now, details about his childhood are limited, but some accounts suggest a unique relationship between him and his enslaver.
Oh.
Like, beyond just the typical enslaver and enslaved relationship.
Interesting.
So, what do we know about that?
Well, there's evidence that Prince may have assisted Benjamin in selling horses.
Oh.
Which suggests a level of trust that wasn't typical in most enslaved relationships.
Right.
It's a small detail, but it speaks volumes about the complexities of their dynamic.
Yeah, you don't typically hear about enslaved people being trusted to help conduct business dealings.
Exactly.
So let's fast forward now to April 19, 1775.
Okay.
A pivotal date in American history.
Oh, yeah.
Tensions between colonists and British troops were reaching a boiling point, culminating in the battles of Lexington and Concord. And it was at these battles that Estabrook really enters the historical narrative in a big way.
And keep in mind, at this time, Massachusetts law actually prohibited black men from militia training. So despite this, Estabrook answers the call to arms when this conflict erupts.
Yeah, so he's not even supposed to be there.
He's not supposed to be there.
He's not legally allowed to train for this. But he still shows up to fight alongside everyone else.
It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was actually wounded in the shoulder during the fighting at Lexington, making him one of the first casualties of the Revolutionary War.
Absolutely.
I mean, talk about courage under fire.
It really makes you question his motivations, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Was it purely patriotism?
Yeah, like, what was motivating him?
Or was there a deeper yearning for a future where freedom might extend to him as well?
Yeah.
The historical record isn't totally clear on this, but it's a question worth pondering, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And his commitment to the cause didn't end there.
No.
After recovering from his injury, Estabrook went on to serve in various regiments and companies over several years, including Captain Parker's company, Colonel Reed's regiment, even a group raised to bolster the main Continental Army.
He was busy.
He was very busy.
Wow.
Yeah. And he even stood guard at their headquarters during the Battle of Bunker Hill.
That's incredible.
So now this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Estabrook actually gains his freedom before the war even ended.
Before the war ended.
Yeah. Benjamin Estabrook, his enslaver, freed him prior to the conclusion of the Revolution.
Now that is interesting.
Right. Yeah. So I would have assumed he gained freedom after the war.
Yeah.
As a result of this fight for liberty.
Right, right.
Like, why would Benjamin free him before the war was even over?
It's a detail that completely reframes, I think, how we understand Estabrook's motivation.
Well,
was this act of freedom a reward for his service?
Yeah.
Or was Benjamin influenced by this growing sentiment against slavery?
Okay.
We can only speculate, but it adds a layer of complexity to their relationship.
So this really makes his decision to keep fighting even more fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Because he was already free.
Yeah, he was already free.
But he keeps fighting.
Right.
So what compelled him to keep risking his life?
Yeah, that's a...
It's a big question.
That's the question, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, it speaks to a deep sense of commitment, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Maybe he felt a sense of duty to his fellow soldiers.
Uh-huh.
Or maybe he believed in the ideals of the revolution, hoping for a future where freedom was truly universal.
Yeah, like everyone would have it.
Yeah.
It's a really powerful testament to his character.
It is.
So his newfound freedom was further solidified in 1783 with the landmark Quackwalker case.
Ah. yes, the Quok Walker case.
So this is a crucial piece of the puzzle here.
Yeah, this is a crucial piece.
It basically outlawed slavery in Massachusetts,
right,
making Estabrook's freedom not just a personal act of his enslaver,
right,
but a matter of law.
Uh-huh.
Can you elaborate a bit on the Quok Walker case for our listeners?
Sure. So Quok Walker was an enslaved man who sued for his freedom, arguing that slavery contradicted the principles of the Massachusetts Constitution.
Okay.
And his victory in court set a precedent that ultimately led to the abolition of slavery in the state.
Wow.
It's a testament to the power of legal activism and its impact on social change.
So it's remarkable to think that Estabrook's life was directly impacted by this case.
Yeah.
Granting him legal recognition of the freedom he had already received from Benjamin.
Right.
Makes you wonder about his life after the war, you know.
Yeah.
Did he experience true freedom in its fullest sense?
That's a tough question.
Yeah.
And the answer is nuanced.
Okay.
Records indicate that Estabrook actually continued to live with the Estabrook family.
Oh, wow.
Even after the war and the Quok Walker case.
Really?
Yeah. The 1790 census lists him as a non-white free man residing in Benjamin's household.
So even though he was legally free.
Right.
His life remained intertwined with the family he had been enslaved by.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
It speaks to the complexities, I think, of the transition from slavery to freedom.
Okay.
Freedom wasn't just a legal status, you know?
Right.
It was, and still is, a lived experience shaped by social and economic realities.
Yeah.
Estabrook's continued presence in the Estabrook household suggests that he may have continued working for them, likely as a paid laborer.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of suggests a continuation of their complex relationship,
yeah,
even in the face of changing social and legal landscapes.
It raises a lot of questions about the nature of their relationship, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Was it purely economic, or was there a deeper connection there,
what,
that kind of transcended the bounds of enslaver and enslaved?
It's certainly something to ponder.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that history is rarely black and white.
Yeah, it's complicated.
These were real people grappling with complex circumstances and emotions.
To kind of paint a fuller picture of his later life, we know that after Benjamin's death,
okay,
Estabrook moved to Ashby and lived with Benjamin's son, Nathan.
Okay.
He eventually passed away in 1830,
mm-hmm,
and was buried in the First Parish Unitarian Universalist Church Cemetery.
And his story, though remarkable, might have faded into obscurity,
yeah,
had it not been for the efforts of historians and researchers, yeah, who have worked really hard to bring Estabrook's contributions to light.
That's great.
And thankfully, there's actually quite a bit of evidence backing up his story.
So what evidence do we have that this isn't just a legend or hearsay?
Yeah.
How can we be sure that this man truly existed and played a role in the revolution?
Well, we have documents like Soldiers of Color on April 19th, 1775,
okay,
which explicitly names Prince Estabrook as an enslaved man who fought and was wounded at Lexington.
Wow.
And then there's the list of casualties from that battle,
okay,
where he's listed as Prince Estabrook's, a Negro man.
Oh, wow.
These primary sources, along with Benjamin Estabrook's tax records that list a non-white freeman residing in his household,
uh-huh,
leave little doubt about his participation in the revolution,
yeah,
and his continued connection to the family.
It's amazing how these historical records can really breathe life into stories that were almost lost to time.
Yeah, it is.
It's a reminder that history is full of these hidden gems,
right,
just waiting to be uncovered.
Right.
But beyond these documents,
yeah,
hasn't Estabrook's story also been acknowledged by various organizations and groups?
Absolutely.
Like, what are some examples of that?
Well, he's listed on a Boston broadside,
okay,
among those who participated in the battles of Lexington and Concord.
Uh-huh.
And the Sons of the American Revolution even played a key role in securing a headstone for his grave.
Oh, wow.
Back in 1930.
Okay.
Replacing the original one to specifically honor his military service.
Wow, that's quite an honor.
It is.
And I understand there's even a monument dedicated to him in Lexington.
There is.
Where is that located and what does it say?
It's erected in front of Buckman Tavern.
Okay.
And it serves as a permanent reminder of Estabrook's bravery and sacrifice.
What does the inscription on the monument say?
It reads, "In honor of Prince Estabrook." Prince Estabrook was a slave who lived in Lexington.
Mm.
At dawn on April 19th, 1775, he was one of the Minutemen who stood his ground against the British regulars.
Chills.
Yeah.
It really underscores the magnitude of his actions.
Yes.
Standing up against an empire.
Yeah.
While also fighting for a nation that didn't even acknowledge his full humanity.
Yeah, how about that?
And how does it go on?
Wounded in the battle, he served in the Continental Army for more than 3 years.
Okay.
Estabrook fought for liberty and the ideals of a new nation,
mm-hmm.
though he himself was denied the very freedoms he helped secure.
Mm.
His story inspires us to recognize and honor the contributions of African Americans to the fight for independence.
That is truly a powerful tribute to a man who, for far too long, was overlooked by history.
It is.
It really speaks to the need to kind of reassess our understanding of the past,
yeah,
and to acknowledge the contributions of all those who fought for the ideals we hold dear,
right,
regardless of their race, background, or social standing. Estabrook's story embodies all of these struggles.
It does.
He fought for a nation that wouldn't fully embrace him,
right,
and yet his story is now woven into the very fabric of American history.
It is.
It makes you wonder, what did freedom truly mean to him?
That's the question that continues to resonate, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was it simply the absence of chains, or was it something more profound?
Something that encompassed dignity, respect,
yeah,
and the full recognition of one's humanity.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And it's a question that extends far beyond Estabrook's individual story.
Right.
It's a question that we as a society are still grappling with today.
You know, as we've been delving into his incredible journey.
Yeah.
I can't help but think about the legacy he left behind.
Mm-hmm.
What can we as individuals learn from Prince Estabrook's story?
Well, I think his story serves as a potent reminder that even in the face of injustice and oppression,
yeah,
the human spirit can persevere. He
yeah.
chose to fight for a future he might never fully experience. A future where freedom and equality were not just lofty ideals,
right,
but tangible realities.
It's a story that challenges us to confront our own biases and assumptions about history.
It does.
To look beyond the dominant narratives and to seek out the untold stories of those who have been marginalized and forgotten.
Estabrook's story is a testament to the power of resilience, courage,
yeah,
and unwavering hope.
It is.
It's a story that reminds us that the fight for freedom is an ongoing process,
mm-hmm.
a process that requires constant vigilance, empathy, and a commitment to creating a more just and equitable world for all.
And on that note, we'd like to thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the life and legacy of Prince Estabrook.
It's been a pleasure.
It's a story that we hope will stay with you long after this episode ends.
And if you're interested in learning more,
yeah,
we've provided a list of resources in the show notes.
Yeah, and it's inspiring to see how Estabrook's story has been rescued from obscurity.
It is.
And is now being recognized and celebrated. Ish. But it also kind of makes me wonder how many other untold stories like his are still out there, just waiting to be discovered.
Yeah, you raise a crucial point. I think Estabrook's story serves as a call to action.
Okay.
Urging us to kind of delve deeper into our collective past, to seek out the voices that have been silenced or overlooked.
Yeah.
And by unearthing these narratives, we not only gain a richer understanding of history,
right,
but we also honor the countless individuals who've shaped our world.
It reminds us that history is not just a collection of dates and battles.
It's not.
But a tapestry
woven
with the experiences of real people, each with their own hopes, struggles, and triumphs.
Exactly. And by acknowledging those experiences, we gain a deeper appreciation, I think, for the complexities of the past and the enduring legacy it leaves on the present.
Yeah.
Estabrook's story, with its inherent paradoxes and thought-provoking questions, compels us to confront the uncomfortable truths about our history and to strive for a future where the ideals of freedom and equality are truly realized for all.
So as we conclude this deep dive, I want to encourage all of our listeners out there to continue exploring Estabrook's story and the countless others that are waiting to be brought to light.
There's so many.
These stories have the power to challenge our assumptions.
They do.
Inspire us to action and help us create a more just and equitable world.
Absolutely. And remember, history is an ongoing conversation.
It is.
By engaging with the past, we can better understand the present and shape a more inclusive and informed future.
Well, thank you for joining us on this journey of discovery.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next time for another deep dive.